Here It Comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight in the Southwest, and we have a truly exciting, incredible show tonight. I hope that you're not going to hear enough, very much from me, because we have two great guests in studio. One is the founder of Up With People, Blanton Belk, and joining us also is Veronica Westermark. And I didn't know if I should say it Veronica, because that's the Spanish pronunciation. Should I say Veronica?
Okay.
Veronica Westermark, promotions representative from Up With People. And I just always have to do a little shout out. Please don't forget to connect with me on Facebook and Twitter. And remember that I'm live every Saturday, 12 noon Mountain Standard Time, broadcasting Mrs. Green's World, where I interview guests from all over the world on every aspect of sustainability that you can imagine. So thank you both for being here. I am a self-professed Up With People wannabe at 61. I never had the opportunity to do it. I am a truly heartfelt fan and admirer of all that you have been doing for over 40 years.
Right,
it's hard,
right.
Hard to believe. I was barely born. Trust me, you can't see the visual, but Veronica was not born. So, Blanton, let's go right to the heart of the matter. What was the thing going on in your head oh so many years ago? It was a tumultuous time, and I do remember that. I was about 15, and there was segregation. There was the Vietnam War. There were lots of things going on in that period, lots of unrest around the globe. What was going on with your head? Did you wake up one morning and say, I think we'll start Up With People?
Well, Ms. Green, first of all, I'm proud to be on your show.
You
reach out
that.
To the world, and that's what we've tried to do with Up With People all these last 47
that.
Years. If you wait 3 years, it'll be our 50th anniversary.
And I'll be having you back.
Well, thank you. I hope I'm here.
Yes, you will be.
Anyhow, the area we started Up With People was the middle of the turbulent 60s, 1965. And you probably won't remember that.
But I do remember.
That was the era that the baby boomers of the Second World War had gone boom, not just over Berkeley and
but
around the universities of the world, the Sorbonne in France, San Marcos in Peru, Stellenbosch in South Africa. All the young people were demonstrating. If we were really honest about it, the prevalent feeling in this country, America, was how soon can we get them to be quiet?
Right.
How can we shut them up?
Yeah, it was scary times.
My father, who was my great mentor in life, had instilled in me, son, whatever you do, make a difference in the world. And that I came together with that moment in history, and I thought to myself, I'm going to get involved. Not a lot of people want to get involved. I was over 30, and nobody over 30 was to be trusted.
Right.
But we had this, my home in Tucson, we had 5 student body presidents come here, and we said, we want to have a conference. Will you help? We said, if we can have a voice, we'll help. I said, I would like to give you a voice about what you want to build. We know what you want to tear down. We had a summer conference of 1,000 young people. They put together music is the media.
Music
they
is.
Took civil it rights. Is. They wrote. They took the civil rights. They wrote a great song called "What Color Is God's Skin," which went around the civil rights. Still, one of our great songs
I
of
still,
Up With People.
I have goosebumps. I know that song and I mean it. So go ahead. What
they
color is God's skin?
They took the Vietnam War and they wrote a great song. Freedom isn't free. You have to sacrifice. You have to play a part for your liberty. These songs became kind of. They wrote things. Make it very brief how we started. We finished the summer conference of 1,000. 90 of these kids had put a show together. We went to Cape Cod, got an old boat, looked like a showboat. We went around Cape Cod, and people came and saw a free show. And we were on a wave. This was, youth were being positive. They were speaking about what they wanted to build instead of what they wanted to burn down. The Kennedys had a bipartisan committee of Congress and senators meeting up on Hyannis.
Okay.
They came to us and said, look, before you end your summer conference, come to Washington. We'll sponsor the first public show for you. We went to Washington. 72 congressmen and senators sponsored our first show. 5,000 people came. Hotel, in Connecticut Avenue, the big Hilton Hotel ballroom on Connecticut Avenue,
yes.
Packed. At the end of the show, a long-standing ovation. I was invited backstage to meet the cast. The cast said, "Mr. Belk, we've got something going. We want you. Did you see in the audience tonight? We had Senator Goldwater sitting with Senator Fulbright."
Which was
now, for
really
this young lady,
history.
That doesn't mean anything.
Right, but to me, it does.
Here you had the Democrat and the Republican sitting together, the left and the right, and standing up together and cheering this concept in the world.
And did you call it Up With People then?
We called it Sing Out 65.
Sing Out 65.
But our great song was Up With People.
Up With People. Okay, and the kids at this conference wrote that song?
The kids that came were students from all over the country. These student body presidents that we talked to went out, and we invited them, and they all came, and we had 1,000 students come for the summer.
And the statistics on how it's grown boggle the mind, and it's like overwhelming.
Well, we first had one cast, and at one point when we had 3 years, which was kind of a happening. In 1968, I had 3 people urged me to incorporate. One was a man I'd met as a naval officer named President Eisenhower.
Okay, that was great company.
And I met him, and that's a great story. I won't get into it, but I met him as a young Lieutenant J.G. with some of the great military men he'd been with in Europe. We became friends.
Okay.
We took the first cast to Indio, where he had a winter White House.
Okay.
He was out of the president, but he still went to Indio to the ranch there. We performed for him. And so he called me one day. I was flying out of Mexico. We had a little plane. We landed on this side of the border. And the little lady on Nogales, Arizona, came running out. I knew her. Said, "Mr. Belk, the president's on the phone." Well, he'd been out of the White House, but he was still the president. We sat in a little booth with a light hanging down. And Ike says to me, you know, I'm an old military man. I said, "Yes, I do know that."
Okay.
And he said, "I believe in the chain of command, and I understand you're the head of this organization. I've got some ideas for you. First of all, I want you to incorporate it." "Yes, sir, General. I mean, anything else?" "Well, I have some other ideas." He said, "This young Japanese girl who's visiting me in Indio, who's in one of your cast members, tells me that 600 young people have now associated with the program. My vision, Mr. Belk, is that someday 6 million young people globally will be imbued with these ideas of the global, because that's the only way that we will preserve freedom in the world." I said, "Well, that's wonderful."
Now, did you have any part of that dream, or did he help ignite the dream? Because he was really thinking at 30,000 feet.
I'd always dream it was going somewhere. We got to remember, we were, you know, we took off with a big leap of faith when these young people said we wanted to stay on the road. And that's where we had to come up with ideas like living in homes. We had to fund
host
it.
Families.
We had to do all that.
Which truly fosters international understanding at a level. I mean, Veronica's shaking her head. We will talk about that. But that's the model that is still sustaining Up With People
still
today.
Still sustaining it.
It's unbelievable.
Still sustaining it. So
okay.
Here we are.
So Ike told you what to do. Your BFF,
Ike. Said,
Ike.
He said, finally, he said, "I have an idea." He said, "Mamie and I are going to Washington. Would you mind if I got Lyndon and Lady Bird, and we had a bipartisan show of support at the Constitution Hall where you're having a big show?" I said, "General, I'm..."
To which you replied, "No, I wouldn't mind at all."
I said, "No, I can't do that this week."
That's right. I'm really busy. Let me check my Palm Pilot.
Oh, anyhow, don't want to go. But that was Ike and several others really came in at that moment. Jesse Owens was one, and the other was Konrad Adenauer, whom I'd gotten to know, the first chancellor of West Germany. And all three of them said within a month, incorporated, which we did.
And before we got on air, you talked a little bit about the Jesse Owens story. And I mean, anybody that was alive then and really conscious can remember the tragedy of the Olympic Games. And just tell us the Jesse Owens story. It's so worth telling.
Well, Jesse was on our board for 30 years. He died here, and we sang it. We were asked to sing at his funeral in the cathedral in Chicago. But I was with Jesse, and he was on the Olympic Committee
right. In
Munich, and they ran a marvelous Olympics. You got to remember, Jesse won 4 gold medals in Berlin in 1932, and here we are in 1978.
Even before I was born. Go ahead.
32, I was 7 years old.
Okay.
But whatever, I think. Anyhow, Jesse, then the tragedy happened, and nobody knew really what had happened except the whole Olympic village and the city was called it off.
Right.
And Jesse came to me and he said, "We must go see Baranski, who was the mayor of the Olympic Village of the students. He said, they're the forgotten people. They're locked up. They can't come out. They don't know what's going on. So I went in with Jesse, and Jesse said, I want to bring the cast in here. And Baranski said, Jesse, you have to take responsibility. We don't know whether this is going to lead to world terrorism. We do not know. We all know that these Israelis are being captured, and the next day they were killed. You remember, they were slaughtered.
Yes.
And for two nights, we put on a show for the Olympic athletes, and the first night, they weren't speaking to each other. You had the Russians, you had the great athletes from Kenya, you had the Cubans, you had them all there. Finally, the cast went out in the audience, and we had a conga line. The Cubans got excited with the conga line, and the coach said, get in that line, and a bunch of Cubans got in the line, and then every coach said, get in the line. And we ended up on the stage with nearly all the athletes holding arms and doing this great conga thing, and that broke the ice. So Jesse went to see the Chancellor of West Germany a month later, and he said, we have to thank Jesse Owens and Up With People for bringing unity and oneness back to the Olympic Village.
Unbelievable. And then there's the stories. I mean, I want to know how much you were there with it, because you went into China at a time when very, very few Westerners went into China, and you went into the Soviet Union. That's all happening today, but you went in with Up With People, which is the benign, loving show of international unity.
You know, so, Mrs. Green, I think probably the best thing my father, excuse me, the little allergy today, the best thing my father and my mother left me, I'm a visionary. And to be a visionary.
Clearly a visionary.
Well, if you're a visionary, you have to live ahead of the mob. We brought this young crowd aboard. How are you going to keep them busy and happy and staying with you? So from the very beginning, I said to the first cast, you stay with us. We'll go to China. We'll go to Russia. We'll go to Cuba. We'll go to South Africa. Most of them said, that's talk. But we did it.
You did it.
We did it. And we did it. We were the first group to be invited in to the People's Republic of China.
But this is not on the sheet to ask you, but that's a lot of money, dollars. So how is it supported by donations and philanthropy, and it is a sustainable model. So how did you back then, all those airline tickets and all of those meals, and the beat goes on. If you're having those families,
how do you get to the People's Republic of China? We had no diplomatic relations. So I'm working on this all the time, and we met Mrs. Cardenas, the wife of the president, former president of Mexico, who was a great friend of the Chinese, the communists. She loved our show. She introduced us to the embassy of the People's Republic in Mexico City, and we negotiated from Mexico City. They called on April, beginning of April, said, we want you to come May the 1st. I went over to California and saw one of our board members, Jim Boswell, and he said, I'll go with you and I'll give you $100,000.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
you
how we
are,
were funded.
That's how that was funded. Oh, my gosh. Philanthropy and the visionary. I love that you say that you're a visionary. Okay, we have to talk a little bit about, I want you to fast forward to today and talk a little bit about your experience with the youth. Do you see a vast difference? Are the same kinds of kids attracted to Up With People? Do you have different challenges now than you did way back then? I mean, it's a very, very different world.
It's a very different world, but I say one thing before we get on to the question of recruiting and all. The youth, we bring a fresh group every year.
I know, you start over.
That revitalizes all of us.
Right.
That re-changes your batteries. It changes your mind. It stretches you completely. That's one of the great things about Up With People. It renews itself.
It does. It really does. A renewable resource.
It's a renewable program.
It is. It really is.
But the great thing about youth today, they want the same global experience that the youth wanted in the early 60s, the middle of the 60s, but they also want a voice. We gave youth a voice.
Literally.
And if the country had looked at it a little differently, instead of trying to kill it, think that energy. Couldn't we give them a voice to speak to the world?
Harness the goodness.
Harness it.
The goodness.
Give them a voice. We did.
Right, and you did. You really did. Look at how it's unbelievable. Now talk about, Veronica, I don't want to act like you're not here because you are here. We need to have time. We're like almost halfway through the show, so we'll bounce back and forth. Do you know, tell us a little bit about the recruiting process, both for the kids and for host families, and what your role is this year with Up With People?
So what we do, what we look for when it comes to recruiting students, it's basically, it doesn't matter if you don't have any performing experiences before, if you're a singer or a dancer. What matters mostly is that you want to change the world, that you want to have that vision.
That's why I know I would have been great. I would have loved it. I would have loved it.
Still want to change the world.
I'm an Up With People wannabe, so go ahead.
I think that the main thing you have to have if you're going to be an Up With People is you just have to have a positive outlook and believe that you can actually change something, because it's amazing what you experience. With the program, you learn so much, and if you only could have half the vision as Mr. Balkav, I think that the world would be such a much better place, because you learn so much enough with people, you meet all the amazing host families, you work with fantastic organization, and you are always in a multicultural environment, so your eyes just pops open. And every day being around 20 plus countries, like different opinions, different ways of seeing stuff, different holiday celebrations, it's just amazing, and it opens up your eyes so much.
There's no better way, in my opinion, to promote peace and understanding. And we were talking off air about, I'm a 20-year Rotarian and we do youth exchange, and you just learn so much about that peace and about different cultures. And for us, we were on the receiving end, but I mean, Rotary promotes international peace and understanding on a global scale as well. So how do you go about recruiting host families? And you have lots of events coming up in Tucson. I think they start March 8th, or is it the 7th?
Yeah, they come March 7th.
March 7th.
They stay until March 19th. And we try to find as many people as we go to Rotary clubs, to go to service clubs, to go to schools, we go anywhere where people might be interested in hosting, because being a host family, it's such a great learning experience. You basically bring the world into your home. You have an international person, or several even if you want to, staying with you for a week or as now 12 days. And that's amazing because you get close to each other, you're participating in the family. As a family, if you have kids, or if you've ever traveled, or if you never have traveled, you bring a piece of the world into your home. And it's such an amazing experience. And I think the host family experience is the absolute best one you can have as a student in this program, because you actually learn so much about
how it
is.
And aren't friendships forged for life? I mean, don't people, some host families stay in touch with their kids
forever?
I've
been visiting many of my host families, like outside of Up With People, since I traveled, and I stay in touch with all of them. And it's so amazing how much you learn. And we have host families that have hosted over 100 kids that are invited to weddings, you know? Like, it's amazing that the host family becomes such a big part of your own family. So you really, really bring two families together.
And I think it's important for people to understand, if you are going to be a host family, you don't have to, it's not like babysitting 24/7.
No.
These kids are busy, so you'd have to help with a bed, a shelter, you know, a roof over their head, some meals, and then helping assist with transportation.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, that's it. It's meals, somewhere to sleep, and then transportation, and then just a safe environment to share cultures. Because for some people, for example, as I told you before, for me, it's very exciting to go out and have a hamburger or watch a baseball game, because that's something that I can't experience in my country. So you don't have to have a big schedule. No, not the same one as here. They are much better here.
Right.
Yeah, so you don't have to have a big schedule. The only thing you need, like the only thing that we want as students, is to be a part of the family and learn how it is to be a part of your life for that brief time. And that is so amazing.
And the most exciting thing to me is that I'm hearing the excitement through the voice of someone that's been through it. And we actually hosted kids, and we hosted a man from Russia. And I will tell you, my daughter at the time, my youngest daughter was seven, eight, nine, I don't remember. And it was bringing the world of things she only read about right into our spare bedroom. I mean, there were lots of conversations. And my older daughter, same thing. It was an incredible global experience that you cannot get. So let's, before I forget, if people want to be host families, the kids are coming.
Yes.
I said to you, what if you don't get the host families? Tell them what your answer was. I loved it.
We will get the host families.
We will get the host families.
How many nations do you have in this case?
Right now we have 21 countries represented, 120 students. Still 30 of them need somewhere to sleep. So we would love, if there's anybody that would love to be a host family and have this wonderful experience of bringing somebody into their home, you can just contact Up With People through uwp.nicole@gmail.com. That's Nicole, our host family coordinator, or call her at 978-609-6555. And we would love if somebody would like to have this amazing experience.
And, you know, some people are listening to this on their iPhone or their Droid, or they're not writing the names down. And I always say on every one of my shows, if you want to get to any of our guests, you can go info@mrsgreensworld.com. It's part of what I want to do and our team wants to do to connect the big green dots, as I say. This is one of the most exciting big green dots I ever got to connect. So what about we can't let the time go by without talking about the archives, because that's a huge thing to have happen, to preserve your stories, to preserve the history of Up With People. So, Blanton, can you tell us a little bit about that? It's huge.
We were asked by the University of Arizona. We told them we had the archives, and they very nicely said, we would like to house your archives. This was your home. You started here, and for many, this is still home.
Right, right.
And so last August, I got to thinking about the centennial and what we should do. And then I thought about the archives and the fact that the dean had told me, after all the joy of knowing we were going to put the archives, that they needed money. It's a big shock. I thought we were all set. They got our archives. They
said
we need money.
So right, right.
We've got this cast coming, and this is going to be a benefit to help process the archives and get them going, because it takes money to do that.
It's a lot of work. You have to pay people
to
make it happen. It really does. It's a lot of work.
And we decided we'd celebrate the centennial, and I went up to see Carl Eller, and Eller said to me, I said, Carl, you're the head of the centennial. He said, what could you do for Up With People? I said, well, maybe we could help change the image of our state. He said, yeah, it's true. Outside of Arizona, people look at Arizona as kind of down with people. And I said, we don't think that's true. We think Arizona is up with people. He said, if you could do that, you would help the conventions come back and everything. So that's what we've been working on for these months.
I had no idea, and I agree with you. I think that it's a wonderful state to live.
So
I'm proud to live here, so go ahead.
That Arizona is really up with people, not down with people, and everybody's responding. Look at this thing we're having, this gala. They're all coming because that's our theme thought. We went down to see the First Lady of Mexico. I thought, well, why don't we see if we can't renew our bridge with Mexico? So we went down, had 45 minutes with Margarita Zavala, who loves Up With People. She received a cast 3 years ago in Los Pinos, the White House. And when they came in, she started singing Up With People. And she said, my dream as a young girl was to always travel, but I've ended up as the First Lady.
Which is not too bad.
Not too bad at all. But anyhow, we've invited her. And she said, are you celebrating in Arizona for our relationship? I said, yes. She said, I really have got to come to that. Now, whether she'll come or not, we don't know, but she's been invited by us, and she said, if I don't come, I'll send somebody.
And it's just building such important bridges.
That's the gala. That's the gala on March the 16th, and we're partnered with President Sander, the University of Arizona, and Up With People together doing this gala, which is a benefit for the archives, but it's bringing together a lot of our alumni from around the world, bringing the university in. This whole neighborhood of the Southwest is coming in.
The alumni never cease to amaze me. And we spoke a little bit about Bill Holmes, who is one of my dear friends. He is now at bringing new life with Mike Varney into the Chamber of Commerce. And he is an Up With People alum that I Facebooked today and said, Bill, can you put the word out that you're going to be on the show? And he said, that is so impressive. So he certainly remembers you. And he's a great, a poster child for Up With People. We call him Mr. GQ.
Well, he is wonderful.
Did you ever see him with a hair out of place?
Pardon?
Did you ever see him with a hair out of place? No.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think he learned that Up With People. I think he was born with that.
He's
really a good guy.
Ms. Green, anybody, it's a public occasion, and it's going to be a dinner and a show of which we've never done. We're doing an hour show put together by some of our top pros who are alumnus of Up With People from New York City coming in. But it's an hour to tell the story, the history. We've often put a show on, but we've never told the history, what we're talking about, what we've done, the first group to China, Russia, what we've done in the civil rights movement in the South, all those things with music. So it'll be so there's tickets. And anybody that buys a ticket to come to the show for $125, that money goes to the archives, and you get a tax deduction.
Right, right. So it's a win-win-win.
It's win-win-win.
I want to ask about the inner workings, because I really meant it when I said, I don't say this on the air all the time, but I will die and Up With People wannabe. I've gone to concerts. It never ceases to amaze me that there's more than one language. From the time a class is recruited till their first performance, what's that, Veronica? How much time is there in between until they're on stage performing for thousands of people?
It depends. For me, it took a year before I was performing. We had some people in my cast that was applied 3 weeks before the program started, got accepted, was on stage 1 month after. So
were they just mouthing the words?
Yeah. Like, it's amazing. Some people, like, I knew a year before I traveled that I was going to travel. And some people knows weeks or just a few months before that they're going to travel. And it's always so amazing when you come that first day to Denver, when you're going to meet all these people. I have never met somebody from China before. I have never met somebody from Japan. Now I have my best friends in those countries. So it's so amazing that you get that experience.
And I never asked why the move from Tucson to Denver. I knew that you started in Tucson, and was it a bigger hub? Is it easier for people to get to? What was the decision about moving from Tucson to Denver for the headquarters?
We had our 25th anniversary in Denver. 5,000 people came. The city suddenly realized, from the governor through Peter Kors and the business world, that they wanted to move this to Denver. And they offered us some very good money at a time when...
An offer you couldn't refuse.
I'm still booed at the Rotary Clubs because we have 1,800 families that hosted in this city of Tucson. But the great thing is, we, in a way, with these archives, we're coming back to Tucson.
It is, and it's a gala.
We're going to do much more with this city. This is really an Up With People city. Look, the way they've supported this gala, and the people that have bought $5,000 tables to help fund this thing, it's just been tremendous.
And I love it. I feel like Tucson is a really giving town, and I've been a member of Angel Charity for almost 20 years. I was on a 20-year cycle, and we actually have our charity selection tomorrow, our big voting meeting,
really?
To decide what charities we'll support. And it never ceases to amaze me how much people in Tucson are willing to give, not just of their money, but of their time, and open up their homes. It's a place that Mr. Green and I love calling home, and we're happy to raise our children here.
This is a great city.
It is a great city.
It's a great
city,
and it's growing, and it's right on the cutting edge of so many things.
And I'm a wildcat. It's certainly on the cutting edge of solar and sustainability, and its people are on board. We will be the solar capital of the world.
And the new port in Guaymas. We have access to the whole Orient, which is a lot of our future in the Pacific.
Yes.
I think it's a very exciting moment
very
to be living
exciting.
In this city.
We are global. We are one planet, and people are starting to realize that. The borders need to, you know, disappear, in at least in terms of international peace and understanding. I have to ask a funny question. I can't help it. One of the most distracting things to me in the world, even when I'm watching U of A football on the TV, is kids and their iPhones. What do you do about that, Veronica? Do you have to deal with that? You didn't have to deal with it when you started 40 years ago, but are there staff that enforce the get those iPhones away, do not be texting, do not be looking at them? Why did that pop into my head?
I don't know. I think that people have realized that we actually have this thing now that it's okay if you want to take notes on your iPad or your iPhone. It's okay, because we realize that you have to keep up with the electronical, and like our cast manager right now, he has everything on his iPhone.
Changing with the times.
Yeah,
that's a great
time,
answer.
But it's still the same core. That's so amazing with Up With People, that Up With People's message is timeless, bringing this world together through service and music.
That's a great answer, and I didn't expect that. And we have about 1 minute left, and I want to say the website again. I think it's a great website. I looked at it. It's upwithpeopleua.org, and I think that's a good website for people to go. I was doing some of my research on there. I hope you'll think about joining University of Arizona Libraries as they celebrate Up With People legacy. It was truly an honor to have you both here, and it touched my heart. It's March 16th, 2012, and I hope that people listening will step up and step out and be a part of Up With People and celebrating this great legacy. Thank you so much. I knew time would fly. I have 20 more questions. This is Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest, and indeed, it was a very proud spotlight to have our guests. are Blanton Belk and Veronica Westermark from Up With People. Thanks for joining us tonight, and the podcast will be up by tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Green. Thank you.